Hello everyone, welcome back to the studio. I'm Eric C. Jackson. I want to talk about something I posted on Instagram a few days ago. It simply reads, "You are enough." And I go through a scenario that I went through at work where I basically feel a certain way about certain things, and I give a scenario. So what I'm gonna do is read what I wrote on the Instagram post and then go into more explanation behind it all, like where it started. So first of all, I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you to the new followers and those of you who have been listening to the podcast. And as I've said before, I will do a better job with just sharing more of my thoughts on the podcast. And so this is what I'm going to go into. Okay, so we have "You Are Enough." And again, this is on my Instagram page, which is Eric C. Jackson Studio. But here's a little bit behind what I'm talking about. Okay, so the post reads, "One of the things I'm asking God to help me with is how I react when feeling slighted. Collaboration is extremely important when working on large projects. Everyone on the team brings something to the table. However, as I pursue certain goals, there have been moments of feeling belittled. Today, I was incredibly outspoken in standing up for myself for a change, yet it only seemed to make matters worse. Ultimately, I had to walk away while fighting the urge to get the last word in. In the end, I felt the Spirit place a simple message on my heart. You don't have to convince anyone of who you are. You know who you are. That needs to be enough. Whether someone acknowledges your hard work or they dismiss you, your confidence remains the same. Suddenly, I realize how much I want to prove that I belong when I really don't have to. My work speaks volumes. Swallow pride, ego, let it go. Still, if your collaboration doesn't create the best work environment, you may need to find a better team." So this is one of the things that I've struggled with for a really, you know, better part of my life, just growing up, always feeling like I needed to prove my worth or prove my value to other people. And I was often throughout school trying to gain the approval of others, and I was trying to fit in. And like back in elementary school, especially middle school, high school, the more I tried, the more effort I put into it, the more I tried to change certain parts of my personality or how I approach people. I was more of a follower, you know, wanting to fit in. And again, the harder I tried, it's just the worse that it got. So I guess I can fast forward probably in my 30s when I really started creating fine art photography. I had already been writing for quite a few years, but more specifically when I would go out and show my art portfolio to curators, gallery owners, art collectors, I would find myself in a situation where it became uncomfortable for me. And I will say that my level of confidence wasn't the best. My level of self-esteem, I wouldn't say I had a healthy level of self-esteem. So I was still in that mode even in my 30s, trying to gain the approval of other people. But at this point in time in my life, I will say that my confidence in my work had grown by quite a bit. And what really affected me the most is when I would have my work on exhibit, even, and people would come through. And it wasn't everyone, of course, but you would have these one or two people. Basically, they would either say something like, I could have photographed that. I could have, taken this image, this picture. That hit me the wrong way. Or I would be showing my work to someone, whether it was in a binder, or I would bring in framed art pieces, and they would kind of squint and, look at me and say, "Did you create this? Did you make this? Is this yours?" And of course, you know how I took that, because at this point in my 30s, it's like my defenses were up. My defenses were completely up, and so I was very protective, more so back then than I am now, of my name, very protective of my name. And I'm the type of person where I don't have a fake smile. Like if I feel slighted, belittled, offended, it's going to show in my facial expression. And in those moments, it took everything I had to not just say the first thing that came to my mind in response, right? Because I do take a lot of pride in what I do and in my work as well. Just, I take a lot of pride in what I do. And so when I know that the work is good, and people start questioning my ability to create the work, of course I take it the wrong way. And so that's why I wrote this post here. Well, this post is actually more talking about my day job. And right now I do work a day job. And then I come in the studio in the evening and I work on whether photography projects, writing projects, whatever it is that I need to get done, even on the business side of the studio. And so on my day job, I changed jobs in February. And now I work for a Fortune 500 company. I'm an assistant to a special projects manager, and she is very, I won't say demanding, but there's a certain standard expected, and I had to catch on to a new user interface, new software, just a new environment altogether. I had to catch on to things pretty fast, and it got to the point where I'm on day one. My first day on the job, it was extremely stressful. I didn't know quite what I was doing, and the position that I actually applied for, I found out that morning when I got there, that's not the job that I was getting. So they gave me a raise, and like no kidding, right? Because the recruiter calls me the day before and she's like, "You're getting a raise." And I'm like, "Okay, that's kind of awkward." But then the next day, on my first day, I found out why that was, because I was actually not in the position that I applied for. Like I said, they had promoted me to this assistant position to the special projects manager. And turned out that she is just very demanding. And like I said, you have to learn really fast. So I remember the first few hours that morning, I was just thinking, "Lord, I don't know how, I'm going to handle this type of pressure, but this is a really good opportunity for me to grow. And so I'm just going to have to take the first couple of weeks and just whatever comes, I'm going to have to be able to deal with it, right? But like I said, that first day, the first few hours went by, and then I went to lunch. And our lunch is an hour. I came back from lunch. We don't clock in, clock out, nothing like that, right? So I get back from lunch, I walk into the office, and everyone's staring at me as I'm walking back into the area to back to my cubicle. And I kind of get this question look on my face, like, what is everyone looking at me for? Some people start snickering, laughing. But one of the managers on that floor, she just said bluntly, "We weren't sure you were going to come back." And I'm like, "You weren't sure I was going to come back from lunch?" And people were like, "No, we weren't sure if you were going to come back or not from lunch." So I'm thinking I'm going to quit on the first day. And everybody was like, "Yeah." And apparently, one person or maybe a couple of people lost money because they were like, "Okay, this person's not coming back. Like, I'm not coming back after the first few hours of my first day on a new job." That's how bad it was. And so I start thinking to myself, how many assistants has she had before? And obviously, I think I'm it was implied that there might be a few. I don't know for sure, but it might be a few. But fast forward to today, the 21st is going to be my 6 month anniversary, and I'm still there in the same position as the assistant to the special projects manager. But I ran into this situation last week where I felt slighted. And I really took offense to it. And it wasn't my manager who slighted me. It was just someone in a different department of the company. And I felt belittled for sure. And the way that the person was talking, just a tone, was that I really didn't know what I was doing. I didn't understand my job, that type of thing. And so now I'm in my 40s, right? Now I'm in my 40s. So I was a little bit, I wasn't as quick to defend myself, but it got to a point where, basically, this same person was just taking shots at me. And I've run into this situation before over the past few months. And so last week, I finally decided to, stand up for myself and, wrote an email out to the team and explained, what I was doing, what I was thinking, etc., that type of thing. And it wasn't exactly an apology that I got back. But I got home that evening, came back here in the studio, and I'm thinking, Lord, how can I handle this better? Because speaking up and defending myself basically let the other person know that they had gotten to me, that they got under my skin. And I can't go to work in that type of tense or stressful environment where I'm kind of going back and forth with one of the other leaders on the team. It's just not the environment I want to work in, right? And so now I'm getting, like I said, I'm getting to my 6 month anniversary, and I might be in line for another promotion, or I might be given the opportunity to work from home, which then I won't have to get up so early in the morning to drive like 20 plus miles across town to get to work, and then 20 plus miles to come back home. So I'm like, okay, I can't ruin this opportunity because I'm learning a lot. I've caught on to a lot. I've been given more responsibility. So now it's just dealing with different personalities, right? And I'm not trying to get into a power struggle with anyone. I'm not trying to bicker or argue with anyone. But at the same time, I want us to be like on the same playing field, on the same level. Even though I don't have a title like some others have leadership titles. So when this message dropped on my heart, you don't have to convince anyone of who you are. You know who you are. That needs to be enough. I just wrapped it up and said, you are enough. You know what you're capable of. You know that you're smart. You know that you have the ability to learn all sorts of things. All sorts of things. You can catch on really quickly if you make a mistake. When you make a mistake, you learn from your mistakes and you keep moving forward and you just progress more and more each and every day. But it takes staying with it, sticking with it in the beginning. In the beginning, when everything is really tough, you don't know people's names, you don't know really what you're doing, in certain instances. And so it's like just deciding or making that choice of, I'm going to stick with it because I know I can catch on to this. Just given time, given the opportunity, I can catch on to these things and be successful in this particular position. So that's what I've learned, and that's what I want to share with you guys, is you are enough. And I know that we run into people who, even though they don't know us, they've just met us. It's sort of like you talk to these ultra smart people, it's like, and they're talking to you like you're a 5-year-old. It reminds me of that movie Philadelphia, where Denzel Washington is like, I want you to explain this to me like I'm a 5-year-old. Now, me personally, that's not what I want. If you try to explain something to me like I'm 5, but I'm 45 years old, I'm gonna take offense to that. Because it's like I have to use these really simple words so that your feeble mind can comprehend what I'm saying. And I just, it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy when people talk to me like this. But like I said, it of course is not every, the majority of the people are fine. It's just you run into the few people during the day or week, whatever, that is just like, oh no. And so the past couple of days, I just said to myself, learn from that incident, avoid that mistake or misunderstanding or whatever it was, and move forward. Move forward. And I think that we do have to stand up for ourselves. It's just we have to do it in the right way, with the right attitude, with the right tone of voice. We still can't be disrespectful. Especially for me, when I'm talking to people who are basically my superiors, like they're over me as far as title, even though they're in a different department, they have seniority over me. So I do have to be careful, but at the same time, like I said in the beginning, it's really difficult for me to hide whatever my initial reaction is. And so thankfully, I communicate with the rest of the team and several different departments through email. And if something like we really do have a misunderstanding, my boss will call me like she did the end of last week, and we'll go back and forth with what she's saying, what I heard, or what I read, and then clear everything up that way. But it's one of those things where it's like I can't just react in a reckless way to what somebody said and what tone of voice they said it, that type of thing, right? So regardless of if someone wants to be friendly or not, I always have to be friendly, or at least as much as I possibly can. And then when I do have to draw the line in the sand, as I said, be very careful in how I do it, right? Because sometimes you'll have people just say things to get a reaction out of you, and you can't give them that all the time. You really can't. Because with some people, that's just all they want to do, is just to get a certain reaction out of you. And then that ruins your day, that ruins your mood, that ruins your attitude. And it's just not good. It's not great. Now, long term, am I going to be able to work in this type of environment? Of course not. It's just not going to work, because again, I don't want to have to, for one, feel like I'm walking on eggshells, and two, always feel like I have to hold myself back from reacting the way that I want to. It's just like I don't want to be in those types of working relationships where I feel like I'm being disrespected or something like that. So that's what I want to share. It really is. That's something that I wanna share, and I hope that you were able to get something out of this. But I will say that for me, and I know that everyone listening to this is not a Christian or believe in God, but I think all of us, especially if we're working in a corporate setting, you're dealing with very wealthy people, influential people, and sometimes, I'm not saying all of them, but not all of them treat others the way they want to be treated. So you have to learn how to deal with that while you're working, because you don't want to lose your career opportunity because you can't get along with people who have authority in that pos in on the job over you. So I would say ultimately do the best you can, learn from every situation, and dig a little bit deeper into why someone may be approaching you or coming at you in the wrong way. And so the past few days, that's what I've done, is just instead of react to certain things, I would just examine it and say, okay, why is this happening? Why is this person reacting like this, or why are they saying this? And sometimes there's something underneath that can be dealt with, and that'll help to calm the situation. And I'll leave with this. For me, as far as my working habits, I guess I'll give the analogy of getting to work on time, because I do have to drive, like I said earlier, between 20 and 25 miles, to get to work in the morning. And I get up extra early so that I can avoid as much traffic as possible, but of course I still get stuck in traffic sometimes. But when I'm going to work, I'm on the interstate, There are certain drivers, it's like they have to go 90 miles an hour. They're gonna tailgate you, they're weaving in and out of traffic, they're not using turn their blinkers. They're just driving like maniacs, zipping through cars. They're either gonna hurt themselves and or other people, because they're driving recklessly to get to work. And this is really every morning. And I think to myself, instead of driving 90 miles an hour, like 20, 30 miles over the speed limit to get to where you want to go, why don't you just leave the house on time so that you can drive at a normal speed and still get to work on time? But if you're getting up late, you're preparing everything late, then that means that when you get on the interstate, you're driving like a maniac to get to where you want to go on, get to where you need to be on time. My approach is get up, wake up in the morning at a decent time to where you know if I get on the highway and there's an accident, I still have enough time, even with that delay, to get to work on time. And that's how I've been doing it for the past, I want to say, 5.5 months, because that's not how I started. But yeah, leave the house on time. Give yourself enough time to, sometimes there's actually two accidents on the interstate. It can be crazy. But I can still get to work in a nick of time because I left the house early enough. And so I say that to say, when I'm working on projects, whether it's in a studio or on my day job, that's how I approach it. I don't want to work at a frantic pace. And I also say you don't have to hyperventilate to get your job done. And so I think with working with people, they kind of misunderstand my approach because I'm not, I guess, if frantic is the right word, but sometimes it can be misunderstood as I don't care. But it's like I do care, which is why I plan out my day and the projects that I have and what I need to do so that I can get things done on time. But I'm not stressing myself out in the process. Because you have to come to work. Excuse me. You have to come to work 5 days a week throughout the entire year. And this is year after year. So is that what you want to do every morning? Excuse me. And you guys have to forgive me because I am trying to get over my cold. But is that what you want to do year after year? Is walk on eggshells and be in a tense, stressful, frantic environment where you're kind of hesitant on what to say to certain people and how to say it and things like that? It's like, no one wants to work in that type of environment. And when I come home and I get into the studio, I don't want to work in that type of environment where I'm frantic and I'm hyperventilating. And then if something goes wrong or something gets held up, it turns into a national emergency where I'm calling NORAD and I'm elevating the threat level to orange and things like that. It's like, no. You just have to roll with the punches and figure out how to handle things or go around things, or sometimes you're just gonna have to wait. So I'm at the point in my life right now where I worked on enough projects to know that this style or this approach works for me. And I feel like I've been on my day job long enough now that this approach works because my boss has not complained. Right? And it's funny because the other manager on day one, my first day on the job, she came to me and she was like, "We're surprised you came back." She came to me again, I would say maybe 2 months ago. And she said, Your boss complimented you." And but by the look on her face, I was like, "Wow." But yeah, she said what I was thinking out loud. She was like, that doesn't happen very often. And at that particular time, I needed someone to tell me that. Because I kind of felt like, or I was wondering, I should say, am I doing a good job? Or am I not doing a good job? Is she about to get rid of me? Or it was like I was kind of floating around in limbo. So when the other supervisor of a completely different department came over and told me that, so I'm like, oh, my boss is talking about me with the other workers, with the other supervisors and managers and whatnot. I'm like, okay. And so after that, the past couple of months have been more difficult. There has been more challenges. I feel like people have sort of tested me more. My boss is testing me more as far as giving me more stuff to do. Certain people in departments are taking days off. Or sometimes they'll take a week off. My boss will take a week off and just leave me to get things done. And my confidence has had to grow because I don't have a choice, right? My confidence has had to grow. Coming into my own studio and working on my own projects, that's one thing. Going into a Fortune 500 company and having people say, okay, we're leaving and make sure that this is done. That's something totally different because people don't want to babysit you. They really don't want to teach you. So once they show you a certain thing, you need to grab hold of everything that you can. Because that's all you're going to get. That's all the information you're going to get. They're not going to keep explaining. They're not going to keep, like, that's what you're going to get. So I've learned to take what information that I can get and start doing my own digging. And of course, I learned I know the user interface now. I know the software now that I've been working on. But there's still so many details in the system that it's like I just have to figure it out. And if I have to go online and do a little research and figure out how to do certain things, I go ahead and do that. Because you, like, in a way, I'm kind of my own boss, and I really don't belong to a certain department. I'm just her assistant. So I've had to tell myself this message that I'm sharing with you guys, because there's no one's going to come along and give you that confidence. You just have to have it. And so you have to encourage yourself and keep giving yourself that encouragement. And then when you have a win and you have things that go right, you have to say, see, you can do this. You can figure this out. So the more tests that come in life, the more you just have to face it. And I think it's really helpful for you to look back on your life and understand all the tests that you have already passed. all the obstacles that you've already overcome. That gives you the confidence that you should have right now in yourself. And then the further you go, the harder the tests get, and the more you'll have to rely on, okay, I've made it this far, I can make it through this as well. I can make it even further. And you know what's interesting, not to, and I hate to get like too religious or to talk too much about the Bible because people take it as religion. I always look at the principle of things instead of looking at it as religion. So David was one of the examples that has really helped me in this situation where his confidence didn't start or didn't get built from his battle with Goliath. His confidence started months before then because he's had to take care of sheep. And so when he was telling King Saul of Israel that he wanted to go out and face Goliath, King Saul was like, "On based on what experience? Like, how do you know God is going to be with you and protect you? Like, how do you, like, you're just going to walk in there with blind faith?" Absolutely not. His faith was not blind. David's job was to take care of sheep, right? His job, that included fighting off predators that would come into the fields to attack the sheep, kill the sheep, eat the sheep, right? Which includes bears, lions, whatever predators that are out there that are going to go after sheep. David had to fight these predators off in order to protect the flocks. And he had done it so much to the point where his confidence had grown. And he said, "Oh my goodness, it can be a bear, it can be a lion, it can be whatever. I'm going to be able to defeat it because I've done it so many times in the fields, in protecting the flock." And so now when this new challenge came, David thought to himself, "You know what? Just like I defeated the predators to protect the flocks, to protect the sheep in the fields, I can fight this guy. I can defeat this guy because he's threatening my homeland. And like God protected me against the predators, God is going to protect me against Goliath." So it wasn't blind faith. Your faith has to get built over time, over experience. And so that experience gives you the confidence to say, "I am enough. I can do this," right? But you start out with smaller challenges, like I said, and then the challenges continue to get harder and harder and harder. And the more your goals get, you know, more elaborate, more detailed, more difficult, the more you're, like I said, the more you're going to have to rely on where you've already been through. You have to look back and see how far you've actually come. And that helps fuel your confidence to move forward. So I'm going to leave you guys with, look back on your life and see how far you've come. Look at all the challenges, the obstacles, every single time you thought you were completely done or you couldn't figure certain things out or you couldn't pass certain tests. Here you are today, having gotten through all of that successfully. And even with your failures, even with your mistakes, you can see how you've learned and you've grown from all of those. So it wasn't for nothing. A mistake and a failure is only for nothing if you don't learn from it and do better going forward, moving forward. So that's when it's for nothing. So that's how I take just my life overall. That's how I approach my life overall. I mean, it's just learning, growing, taking on challenges, not being afraid to fail, and understanding who you are. And if someone doesn't want to acknowledge your hard work, acknowledge your successes, acknowledge that you do know what you're doing and you can learn and grow and progress, there's nothing you can do. You can't control how other people react to you or to what you do. You can only control what you do and how you respond. But you can't change other people. So I try my best to only focus on changing myself, working on myself, and trying to be the best version of me that I possibly can. All right, so that's all I have. That's all I have for this podcast. Thank you guys for listening. And like I said before, my Instagram is probably one of the most active social channels that I have, that I use. And it's also linked to Facebook. I'm trying to get my Twitter account, Pinterest account back up to speed. But it's going to take a little... I'm just going to have to manage my social media channels, and I've actually cut back on some of them so that I don't have to spend so much time on social media. I do want to spend more time on creating podcasts and sharing what, you know, the messages here on YouTube, on Spotify. And I think it's just very helpful for people to have me explain the posts that I put out on social media, because I just don't have time to really deep dive into all of my thoughts. And so it's one of the things that I think, especially during this month, that I can do to share with you guys. So thank you so much again for listening. I appreciate it. And if you do like this content, I would appreciate your follow, and just tell me about your stories, what you're going through, your advice for me. If you have any advice, I'm totally open for that. And how you handle, you know, the situations that you go through that's similar to mine. But yeah, thank you guys. I really appreciate it, and take care. God bless.